Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. That you listen to, you will be listening to Mr. Hawthorne James. Mr. Hawthorne James is an actor. He has been in 56 films and over 30 theater plays and counting. He probably has been in more films than this since the last interview. He's very talented. You probably know him from a lot of films. I'm going to let him give you a rundown of some of the films he's been in and some of his current day films, if he can talk about them. There'll be some things you'll listen and you'll hear that he's going to tell me he cannot talk about. How are you doing this afternoon, Mr. James?
I'm great. How about you, Evan?
I'm doing good. I just want everyone to know some of the films you've been in and what have you did lately.
Well,
if you can talk about it.
Well, some of the films, of course, were Five Heartbeats, Seven, Speed, The Color Purple. That was my first Union movie. And a lot of stuff ever since then. I mean, I've got films running, streaming right now, A Polished Soul and several films. You just Google them and look them up, and just I know on Cox here on Cox Cable, you can just put my name in, and films will come up. So there you have it.
Okay, that's great. That's great. What have you been working on lately?
Well,
can you talk about it?
Yeah, well, I've got several things in the works, but nothing concrete right now. I will definitely let you know when the check clears the bank. I'll put it that way.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. That makes good sense. Do you have any training in acting? Did you go to school or anything like that?
Yes, I did. I have a degree in theater from the University of Notre Dame. I have a master's from the University of Michigan. I got scholarship offers to work on my doctorate from Yale and Cornell. I didn't go for various reasons, but. And then I taught for 2 years at Illinois State University in the theater department. And Ted Lance, who played the bartender in The Love Boat, got me a scholarship to go to London and study at the London Shakespeare Academy. So, and I've done over 300 plays in my life in various incarnations, whether it be directing or acting. I've directed national tours of plays and directed films and commercials. You know, you name it, I've done it just about.
Films have you been in?
You know, that's a hard number because if you go to IMDb, they have certain films on there, but there are other films that I've done, some of which unfortunately never were released, and so it's I guess around 60 to 70 somewhere in there, and done about 30 to 40 TV shows, so it's been working.
You are definitely a working actor.
Yes,
such
I'm very glad. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm
is it your representation? I mean,
no, that's nothing. that has nothing to do with representation. That's for sure. It has to do with me being tenacious and putting my work out there and making sure that I'm out there and working all the time and making the connections and hopefully doing great work so that people take notice and want me to be a part of their next project. So, nah, representation had nothing to do with it. If I waited for my representation, I'd be laid up in bed, you know, for 90% of my life. No, you can't depend on someone else to do anything for you, because what the representation is, they are there looking for money. They're trying to get a paycheck. And if you're not the boss man on the block, then they're not going to work very hard for you. You know, unless you're Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, or somebody like that, and you're just a, you know, you're more of a weekly person or something like that, you know, they're just not going to work hard for you. I've had managers and agents and all kinds of people, and I've never depended on them to do anything for me.
So you depend on yourself. Well, how do you get your parts? How do you get in these films? Because when I was acting, I used the internet a whole lot. I didn't have representation. I used the internet. I've been in Greenleaf with this Oprah Winfrey. I worked with Tyler Perry. But most of it's been extra work. I've been on Divorce Court. I've been in theater plays. I've been in commercials. Agent got, only single agent ever got me some roles at FSU, Florida State University. That was my start. My start was at Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida.
Well, you are.
I can't hear you, sir. You're breaking up.
I'm sorry. I was just saying that you grew up in a different age than I did, because you're talking about the internet. There was no internet when I first started. All the new technology, et cetera. By the time the new technology came around, I was able to bypass all of that and go, and generally people call and request me now. All this auditioning at home, et cetera, especially how it changed really radically with the COVID, you know, people staying at home. And I actually worked during COVID because people were doing projects and they would call and ask me to do them. So I did in the beginning, most of the time I did have to audition, and some of those auditions I got myself by submitting myself, and some of them did come through the agency. But mostly it was just me staying on the agency, making sure that they were submitting me, et cetera, and letting them know what was going on, and telling them that I should be in on this audition, et cetera. So that's how I did it. Now, like you say, you're in a different era. You're in the internet stage, and it's just mind-boggling to me how things have changed. And I don't think necessarily for the better, because there are certain things that you need human contact. You need to be up close and personal. I don't want to watch you on a tape, a self tape, because I don't get to know you. I don't get to see you. I don't get to ask you, could you do this again? Could you do it this way? You know, it was much better, I think, for auditioning, et cetera, for both sides, for the actors and the directors, producers.
Well, if you ever make another film, I would like to be in it.
Well, that depends on all these aspects of all kinds of things. You know, if what the budget is, if you can afford to fly yourself in, sometimes they'll fly you in, et cetera. I mean, all of that just depends. I can't guarantee that. You are certainly welcome to audition. That's for sure. Anything that I do, anything I have contact with, you can certainly audition for it.
Okay. All right. But I would have to fly myself in for the audition. Okay.
Well, maybe. It's all different. On every project, there's always something different. I mean, if we have enough money and you're the person that we want, then we'll fly you in and put you up. If we're doing a film where you are, of course, we don't have to fly you in. We just, you know, you come in and audition. If you get the role, you work wherever you are. So there's all different kinds of things. It totally depends on the various projects.
Well, I will be keeping in touch with you. But this was not about getting a part. This interview is not about getting a part from you. I also would like to know, what advice would you give somebody that's starting out and an actor? Would you recommend they go to college, school? What would you recommend them do?
Well, there are all different kinds of avenues. Everybody doesn't need to go to college, but you have to work on your craft. I don't care if you're in college and work doing classes or doing private classes with someone who you trust and someone who you think knows really about the acting profession, but you have to stay busy. You have every chance you get to get on stage, you have to go. There are all kinds of student films wherever you are. The universities are all over the U.S. So, and there's always a film department somewhere, and some student is producing their student film, and you can go and audition for that. Just work. Get better at your craft. Start making connections. You know, Spielberg and oh God, what is his name? The guy who produced Star Wars. Can't think of his name, but George Lucas. They all went to USC. They were all students together, and they made connections, and they stayed connected throughout all these years. So look where that gets you. So you don't know who's going to be the next big thing, and if those people. You've worked with those people and they trust you, then you're going to be the one that they're going to call and want you in their project.
Okay.
All right, don't sit on your butt and wait for nothing to happen. Get out there.
Okay, get out there in the real world. Come from behind the computer, in other words.
Yeah. There's nothing that can happen. I can almost guarantee you. I'm going to tell you how I got the 5 heartbeats. I was doing play after play after play after play, and I had just gotten off the road doing a tour. And I said, I'm not doing anything else for a while. I'm taking a break. And this guy, Dominic Hoffman, called me, and he said, I'm getting ready to do Macbeth in a small theater in Hollywood. I want you to come down and audition. I said, no, I'm tired. I'm not doing anything right now. He called me for a week. And finally, I said, okay, fine, I'll come down and audition. I went down and auditioned. He said, I would love for you to do Macbeth, but I've already promised this to somebody else. Would you do Macduff, which is the second lead? I told him no. And he, once again, he kept calling me and said, please, come on, man, just do this for me. So, and he said, and on top of that, he said, I want your girl that's getting cool. My girlfriend at the time is a great actress. And he said, I want her to do one of the witches. And I finally gave in. I said, okay, fine, I'll do it. So we were doing in Hollywood, it's hard to get an audience in. If you get 30 people into an audience, that's a huge audience. If you get 30 people into the theater, that's a huge audience. So one night we had a pretty big audience, 30, 40 people. And after the show, Robert Townsend came backstage because he had a friend. He came to see his friend who was in the show. And after the show, he came backstage and said, I'm getting ready to do this movie. Would you like to do it? And lo and behold, it was the 5 heartbeats. I got the biggest break I've had in this business by not sitting on my butt.
You worked for it.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that. And I've worked in things, but it's mostly been an extra. I've been in about 25 things, 20 or 25 different things, but I stopped.
Well, I did extra work when I first moved to L.A. I did about 8 movies, about 7, 6 to 8 movies as an extra. And then what I did was I said, okay, I have to stop doing this. Because producers and directors will see you, and they'll only see you as an extra. And I said, okay, I did it just so I can learn my way around the set, so what I know what it feels like to be on the set. I kind of look around and see what everybody's job is, so I could get familiar and get comfortable with being on the set. So you're doing the right thing. There just comes a point at which you have to just say, make a decision whether you want to keep doing it or what do you want to do. But I know people that make a great living being extras. Marla Gibbs' sister is an extra. This woman walks around with fur coats and stuff. So she makes a great living being an extra, and lots of other people too. You know, so you don't know. It depends on what your personal preference is. It depends on who you are.
Okay. All right. That's great. It's just that they don't usually want to pay an extra anything. Like, they only want to pay like $90 to an extra.
Yeah, well, you know, $90 is better than no dollar sometimes. You know, and like I say, you get to work around the set, you get to meet people, you know, and who knows? I've seen lots of extras get bumped up, get lines in films because they're there. Somebody say, oh, we need somebody to say this line. And, oh, you say it. So you get bumped up. You don't know. You just don't know. But you got to stay busy. You got to stay relevant.
That's true. That's fair too. That's good advice. So that's your advice to anyone who wants to get into film.
Yes. Exactly. Absolutely.
What advice would you give someone starting out on, let's say, commercial, getting into commercial? What advice would you give someone who only wants to be a commercial lifestyle actor?
I don't know any actors like that. There are actors who just want to act, and acting, and if you get into commercial, it's still acting. It's still in front of that camera. And it depends on your personal. I can't tell you what you need to do because you're a different person. Everybody's different. So whatever it is that you want to do, but I'm telling you, in order to do any of this, you have to be out there. You have to be constantly working at it. You can't wait for them to call you, sit by the phone and expect somebody to call, because that's not going to happen.
All right. Okay. So you're in Hollywood, California.
Yeah. Los Angeles.
All right. So you for everything. You are truly what I call a working actor.
Yes, I am. I really am blessed. I've been making my living doing this since 1986.
All right. Okay, well, I thank you for coming on the Queen of Show Talk. And, oh, I have one more thing to ask. What do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, I hope they have done a lot more work, and work that's relevant, work that really makes a difference. That's what I'm working for. It's not just to work, because I don't have to work anymore. I made money and I can pay my bills. But what I want to do now, I want to do work that makes a difference, and makes a difference in especially black folks' lives, and shows us that what we can do, what we can achieve.
Yes, that's wonderful. That's a good goal. I talked to the NAACP president, and his goal is to stop the governor of Florida, to try to slow down the governor in Florida from discriminating against black people here in Florida. The NAACP president, Mr. Sabu, because it's a big discrimination going on here in Florida. It's severe. A lot of people where I live at aren't catching hell, but the rest of Florida is.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous what they're doing. They're trying to erase history, but then on top of that, not teach our real history. You know, if they talk about black people's history, they start with slavery. No. We go all the way back to the first person that walked the planet, Lucy, and we go from there. The richest man ever in the world was an African, Mansa Musa. There's history all over. The Moors, we taught Europeans, we taught them how to take a bath. We taught them how to change clothes for the season. We taught them math. We taught them proper etiquette, et cetera. But they, when they talk about black history, they don't want to talk about that history. All they want to talk about is how we were brought over here on boats. And I got news for you. We weren't all brought over here on boats. There were Africans here before Columbus was a twinkle in his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother's eyes. Let's talk about that history. Let's talk about the real history. Let's not just start with what they consider our history. Because what they consider our history makes them look superior. That's nonsense. They don't really want us they don't really want these children to know the truth.
No, they don't. They still make them feel bad. It was to make little white kids feel ashamed of themselves.
Right, exactly. And that therein lies the big problem with them, not with us, with them. That's their problem.
That's the issue. I believe everyone should be taught black history, the real black history, that we just didn't start over here in slaves.
Right.
Black people were not just slaves. Black
no.
people were here before Columbus.
Way before Columbus. Here
with the Indians.
Columbus's navigator was an African. Why do you think he hired an African? Because he had already been here. He knew where he was going. You don't go out on a dangerous mission and hire some sub. You go out with the best you can find. But they don't teach you that. They don't tell you that. They don't even want you to know the first person who died to make this an independent country was an African, Crispus Attucks. There should be all kinds of monuments for Crispus Attucks. He's the first person who died in the Revolution at Bunker Hill. But they don't tell you that. They don't put monuments up to him. There should be schools and holidays named after this man. But they don't want that, because that means that you are somebody. That makes you, you know, even look at all the inventions that black people have made without having the education, without having the benefit of being able to have access to all kinds of things. And who knows how many other inventions that we have done that they have taken credit for. So it's like the history is, you know, let me write my history books. You know, we'll get down to some nitty gritty. Angela, are you there? Stop there. Angela?
I am here, sir.
Okay.
I was saying the true black history has never been taught here in America, not that I know of, not in my time period that I know of. It's always been killing black people, making sure that leaders didn't rise up to help them. It's always been like there was only one or two who rose up to help black people. It's never been truly taught. They talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They talk about Malcolm X, but they don't give the true history. They don't say that Minister Louis Farrakhan did not kill Malcolm X.
No.
That just came out this year. They don't say that Dr. King was for economics for black people. You know, that they don't tell that. They don't tell about all the inventions that black people have made.
No.
The things they're enjoying now were made by black people. The internet was created by Africa.
Without the African continent and the minerals and resources, this world could not exist as it is. There's no minerals in England. There's no substance. There's no diamonds. There's no platinum. There's no any of the minerals that you have in that makes a cell phone work. None of that is in Europe. It's all in the African continent. And African peoples, look at the things that people, you know, the black folks in the U.S. have done. It's just astonishing. But they don't want you to know that, and we have to let people know. We have to talk about it.
You know what happened to me, Mr. Hawthorne James, something that came as a surprise. They actually want me to teach them how to build an internet show, and I was shocked. I have 750,000 people in 2 years that have listened to my interviews, and I was shocked that somebody actually want me to teach them how to build an internet radio show.
Well, don't be shocked. Because they want that knowledge. And then they'll take the knowledge and then leave you behind. That's their MO all the time. They'll take credit for it. They'll take your knowledge. They'll
they're
use you
people.
And dump you by the side of the road like
they're
you never existed.
People. They're black people. Young black people.
They have learned. Well, I hope they, you know, but they have learned how to use the system a lot of times. You know, black people can sometimes be your worst enemy. We have to teach them not to be an enemy. We have to teach them. If you teach them, you have to be you have to have some kind of recompense for that teaching. They have to take you with them wherever they go. They have to acknowledge you. But a lot of times, young black kids have learned from white people how they do business, and we think that's the way it's supposed to be. That's why you have all these, you know, all this nonsense on TV. Women of this thing that all they do is, you know, backbite and be evil. No, it's disgusting. You know, it's whorish behavior, and you're teaching young kids that that's the way they're supposed to act. No, it's not.
They're supposed to hate all the blacks and destroy all the blacks.
Yeah. You know, you got when rap first came out, it was as a positive. You listen to Tupac's lyrics. It was all positive. It was about love. You know, all of that is gone now. It's all about who can get the most women, who can make the most money, and all of that is nothing but fake. They don't own anything. The diamonds around most of their necks, they're just props. The houses that they talk about they have, the record company owns it. And once they're through with you, you owe them money. And yet you're influencing the next generation. That has to stop. We have to start teaching each other how to really live and how to cooperate with each other. And how to appreciate.
Stop destroying each other. There have been some black people who have made it their mission to destroy
me. Yeah, you know, and those black people who quote-unquote make it, most of them never look back. Most of them never grab anybody and say, come on, let's go. Here we go. It's on and popping now. No, they think I made it. To hell with everybody else. I'm keeping. I did this on my own. You're a lie. You didn't do it on your own. You're standing on the shoulders of a thousand years, thousands and thousands of years of people. You didn't make this by yourself. I didn't do all of this by myself. I had parents. I had direct parents and grandparents who supported me, who believed in me. I have brothers
and
sisters who
down
support me and believe in me.
So many jobs because of what goes on in this town.
You know, I don't buy into this nonsense. And there's one thing that I'm going to say before I leave you. There's one thing that I totally believe, and I live my life by this. I don't be free till you be free. That's how I live my life. I don't think I am the man, I've done everything. No. As long as you're in bondage, I'm in bondage.
Yes, sir. I understand that. And I'm in bondage. Thank you, Mr. Hassan James.
Oh, you're welcome, Angela.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
God bless you.
Oh, same to you. Thank you, babe.